ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्या ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। अखण्डमण्डलकरां व्याप्तयेन चराचरं तत्पदं दर्शितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। यस्या प्रसददाज्ञोऽपी साध्य सर्वाज्ञतां व्रजे स श्रीचैतन्य देवमे भगवन् सम्प्रसीदतु। मे श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु, by whose grace a complete fool can get all the knowledge, all of a sudden be merciful unto me. This is Krishna Askaraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also from there, Vande nantad butaisvaryam Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhum nichopiyat prasadat syad bhakti shastra pravartakam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the unlimitedly powerful Lord Chaitanya, by whose grace the most fallen person can teach bhakti shastra. Yeah, that's what he writes there. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is not just sweet, he is the sweetness of the sweet. His sweetness personified. I don't know, some people, there are people who don't like sweet things. So then you can use another word in Sanskrit, lavanya, which means also something like charm, but it's coming from the word salt. You know, you have to love something, either sweet or salt. Krishna is the best of everything. Krishna is the absolute truth. And to speak about Krishna, on one hand, should be easy, because there is so many glorious qualities. On the other hand, it may be a little presumptuous. You want to grasp what cannot be grasped. So, Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur precedes several chapters in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by a beautiful prayer. He says, Mama ratnavanik bhavam ratnanya parichinvata hasantu santu jihremi na swasvanta vinodakrit. He's saying, even though being ignorant in jewels, I am boldly assuming a stance of a jewel merchant. I'm going to sell jewels. Jewels of describing Krishna's jewel-like qualities or jewel-like qualities of bhakti. And this is a shameful position, you know, if I'm not knowledgeable in something and then I presume that I'm taking a position as if I am knowledgeable. But he says, hasanto santo jihremi na, may the saintly persons laugh, I will not be ashamed. He says, this will not make me shy. He says, why? Because the saints are my near and dear, and if nothing else, at least I will provide them some fun. At least they will laugh at me. 20 doors to Krishna's sweetness. This is how this talk is called, and as some of you may have guessed, this is a marketing trick just to lure some of you here, because some of you will be interested in Krishna's sweetness, some of you will be interested in doors. You want to know, you know, the doors, that sounds intriguing, channels, tunnels, you know, how to get somewhere. And some of you will be interested in 20. You know, okay, doors, okay, but 20? Why exactly 20? So here you are, and what is it? 20 doors to Krishna's sweetness. Krishna is certainly the sweetest of the sweet. This is, in fact, what we are supposed to meditate upon as we are doing everything in devotional service and as we are chanting our Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In Dhyanchandra Goswami's Govindarshana Smarana Padati, he says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Asya Dhyanam Yathata Traiva. So here is the meditation for that mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Dhyayet Vrindavane Ramye Gopa Gobhir Alankrite Kadamba Padapachaye Yamuna Jalashitale Radhaya Sahidam Krishnam Vamsi Vadanatat Param Tribhangalalitam Devam Bhakta Nugrahakarakam. So this is the dhyana which is found also in Sanat Kumara Samhita, according to Dhyanchandra Goswami. So this is how we should, what should be in our mind as we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Please don't mind, I didn't chant so many rounds in the morning, so I'm trying to catch up. So this is the picture. Shri Krishna is sporting in the cooling waters of the Yamuna. I don't know if it's a suitable meditation for winter, but Krishna is sporting in the Yamuna, or in the shade of a Kadamba tree in the beautiful Vrindavan forest. He is ornamented, surrounded, by the cows and gopas, and is accompanied by Sri Radha. He is very skillful at playing the flute as he stands in a charming tribhanga pose, bestowing mercy and kindness upon the bhaktas. Bhakta nugraha karakam. This is the last line of this meditation. That this is what should be in our mind. This beautiful Krishna surrounded by amazing associates in an amazing place, Yamuna, the Kadamba tree with Shrimati Radharani, and he is Bhakta Nugraha Karakam. He is very merciful. Also in the third canto of Shrimad Bhagavatam, we read that a yogi meditates on the smile of Krishna. It's a very, very important part of meditation on Krishna. We meditate on Krishna's smile. Our God is not the judge God, right? With a big stick. He has a club, and it's in the third canto, it said that this Kaumodaki club is blood, covered with blood. So that's also there, but it's described as the blood of the demons. Hopefully not mine. The central part of our meditation, he's Bhakta Nugraha Karakam. He is very, very kind. He is always devising ways to bestow his mercy upon bhaktas, upon devotees, upon you, and also hopefully me. Maybe I'm a candidate into devotees, but Krishna is very kind. So we meditate on Krishna's kindness, and we meditate on Krishna's sweetness as we chant. So from the expressions of the faces of some of you, I can see that I have something in common with you, in that this is not the constant picture in our minds as we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's not what always stands in front of our mind's eye. Krishna with a flute and the gopis and bestowing mercy upon us, kindly smiling upon us. So we need some access
to the sweetness. There is something that has to help us approach that sweetness. And here comes the topic of what we wanted to discuss, the 20 doors. Actually, there are 20 is just a number. I did not invent it. It's there in the Shastra. Actually, in many places. And we have officially 20 more minutes. So, correct? So, that would be 1 minute per door. But I will not enumerate in detail all these doors. I'll just tell you what these doors are. These doors are mentioned in our books, such as Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 6, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, and it's mentioned in Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 12. It's these are Prabhupada's books. It's mentioned; they're mentioned in even in Easy Journey to the other Planets. That should give you a clue. And in the Easy Journey to the Other Planets, only 20 are mentioned. In the other places, more are mentioned. But in the Easy Journey to the Other Planets, 20 are mentioned. And of course, we have other Acharya's books where these 20 doors are mentioned. So what are these? As you know, there are 64 angas, main angas of bhakti, which Sri Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the 21st of these elements of bhakti oftentimes are not even Sarupa Siddha Bhakti. Well, basically, they are not Sarupa Siddha Bhakti. They are not directly hearing and chanting. They are not directly remembering Krishna. They are things like the first three you all know, you know, accepting the shelter of the spiritual master, taking initiation, taking instruction, then sadharma pricha, asking about, that's the fourth one, asking about the eternal principles of religion. So these are common also for jnanis and for everybody. And then following the process of the previous acharyas and... Then come the more funny ones, preparing to give up anything material for satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion, that means that one must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up. And also we have to accept something which we may not like to accept. Then living in a spiritual atmosphere, of course for us that means Vrindavan, or Govardhan, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Dwaraka is mentioned. And accepting what is necessary and observing Ekadashi and worshipping sacred trees like banyan tree, also Amalaki is mentioned. So don't disrespect Amalaki. That's an element, the tenth element of bhakti. Respect Amalaki tree. And also cows, and also the brahmanas. So these are the ten do's. These are preliminary necessities for beginning bhakti, as Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion. And then the next set of instructions are more negative. So one should give up the offenses. One should not... one should be careful about accepting too many disciples. In the Easy Journey to the Other Planets, Prabhupada says that by this time, if you followed properly the previous items, you may have disciples. So you should not accept too many. Yeah? And one should not read too many books just to be able to impress others and build costly temples. Just also to impress others. One should not be neglectful, or in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, very beautifully, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one should not be miserly in ordinary dealings. So we should pay the proper price. We know Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would, when he would leave some place, he would always give some tip to the cleaners, to the room service. And then six and number six is very interesting. One should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain. So one should not lament, or one should not be elated when something pleasant happens to us. And one should not disrespect other religions, other books, or other worshipable deities and demigods. One should avoid offenses in the chanting of the holy name, and one should not tolerate blasphemy. So these are the 20 doors. You have read them, and maybe you remember some of them. Why are they called doors? This is the name that's given to them by Sri Rupa Goswami after he lists them. He says, Asya statra pravesaya dvaravatve pyangavimsate. So these 20 angas serve as the door for entering bhakti. A door is a funny thing. It's a little mysterious. It is so mysterious that it bewildered even a great Gyani Hiranyakashipu, as Prabhupada calls him in the third canto, great Gyani Hiranyakashipu, because he said he wanted to create a logical trap for Lord Brahma. He said, let me not be killed inside the house or outside the house. So Brahma said, tadastu, no problem. Brahma is not bound. Brahma knows that not only Aristotle was a logician, and there are more kinds of logic. Because a door, is it inside or is it outside? When we are in a door, have we entered the temple or have we not entered the temple? What do you think? In the commentary to Sri Upadeshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the items of surrender, Sharanagati, are like the staircase to the temple. Also, if you are on the staircase, you are not in the temple yet. But can you enter a temple without walking the staircase? So, Sharanagati. Sharanagati. Also, when Sri Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha starts describing Sarupa Siddha Bhakti, or Bhakti proper, the most powerful form of Bhakti, he begins by describing Sharanagati. He begins by describing surrender. And these items are the items of surrender. And you can pick... You can choose the one that's that you hate the most or that you like the most, and you can try practicing it. Our process is mainly hearing about Krishna and glorifying Krishna. However, we can hear about Krishna and glorify Krishna, and still the door may be closed. So we have to open the door by surrender, by accepting Krishna. There is a curious story in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the story which is reflected in Lalita Madhava by Sri Rupa Goswami, a very beautiful story. This is the story of the Samantaka jewel, which was given to Satrajit. Also very interesting. Satrajit and Akrura are two persons given by Sri Jiva Goswami as the examples of people who attained the Supreme Lord by worshipping Surya and Chandra as the vibhutis, or personifications of the Supreme Lord. In a previous life, they resided in Mayavati, or Mayapuri, which is actually the ancient name of Haridwar. And they achieved perfection, and so they became... their names were called Deva Sharma and Chandra Sharma. So they became Satrajit and Akrura. And Satrajit worshipped the sun god, and he got whom? Who did he get? From sun god as a boon. Semantaka jewel and Satyabhama. Yes, Satyabhama, who became the wife of Lord Krishna in Dwaraka. And then Syamantaka remained in the possession of Akrura. And Krishna intimated to Akrura that it would be better to give this Syamantaka, an amazing jewel, which was very shining and producing gold, it would be better to give it to the king. Who was the king in Dwaraka? Ugrasena, very good. So he intimated that, but Satrajit felt it very difficult to give it to Ugrasena. So he kept this jewel. And one day his brother Prasena went with this jewel to hunt in the forest. And he was carrying this jewel. You know, brothers sometimes share things. And a big lion saw him and attacked him and killed Prasena and took away that shining bright jewel. Sometimes animals are attracted by some shining things. You know that the crows may often steal jewelry. They like some shining things. And this lion also liked this beautiful stone, so he took it away. And then Jambavan, he killed this lion and took away the Syamantaka jewel and gave it to Jambavati. From Lalita Madhava, you know that this was Lalita Devi, yes? And then something funny happened. So this is 16th chapter, 16th verse of the 56th chapter of the 10th canto. It says that the Dwaraka residents started whispering. Of course, the first one was Satrajit. His brother came. His brother went to hunt and didn't return. His brother had the Syamantaka jewel. He went to hunt and he didn't return. And Krishna liked the jewel very much. And the brother was carrying the jewel. And then he didn't return. And the jewel is gone. So Satrajit started whispering, "Do you know? Do you know Krishna liked that jewel so much and my brother never came back?" So it says that the residents of Dwaraka, they started whispering, and you know how it's called in Sanskrit? Ajapan. Ajapan. Whispering is japa. So they started doing japa. Some residents of Dwaraka, they started doing japa of what? Of accusing Krishna. You know, I think Krishna might have done it. So even in Dwaraka, which is a projection, which is a part of the spiritual... Actually, it's not a projection. It is a part of the spiritual world. It was given to King Anartha when he challenged his father. His father was dividing the earth between sons, and Anartha says, "Father, what belongs to you? Everything belongs to God." So he says, "Oh, nothing belongs to me? Okay, so you have no share of land, if you are so devotional." So he said, okay. So he went and practiced austerities and then the devotional service. Krishna came and he said, "Krishna, please give me beautiful land which is not part of the land." He said, "Oh, okay. So that's easy, you know. Some land which is not land." So then he just made Dwaraka descend from the spiritual world, and it was an island next to modern-day Dwaraka, Anartha province. So, this was spiritual world. And you just imagine, you're living in the same city with Krishna. And you are seeing Krishna every day. So, in whichever neighborhood you're living, Krishna is your neighbor. Because he is living in every of the 16,000 palaces. Every morning, he's going out of this palace, and he... steps on the folded hands of Dwaraka, goes into the chariot and goes to the assembly hall to decide some, you know, whatever things they were deciding. And you are seeing Krishna every day. So just imagine what it takes, who you should be to live in Dwaraka. Who can live in Dwaraka? And so these are either eternal associates or very, very elevated devotees. And among these elevated devotees, some started doing japa, ajapan, whispering about Krishna's imaginary faults, accusing Krishna, even of something that Krishna didn't do. So it's quite shocking that in Dwaraka people can do such japa. It's quite shocking for us, unless you have spent enough time in this world, in the society of devotees, and then you know that sometimes not only we, but even other devotees may sometimes, very rarely, accuse Krishna. Say, oh, Krishna did this to me. You know, some people, even Arjuna did it in the Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, he calls Krishna, oh, Janardhan, why do you force me to fight and kill my relatives? And Sri Vishwanath says that he uses Janardhana in the secondary sense, not as the lord of the living entities, but as the tormentor of the living entities. You're doing the Ardhana, you're tormenting me, and you want to kill all of these. So even Arjuna is accusing Krishna of that. And there are, in fact, this is the biggest argument that makes people atheists. Why there is evil in this world if God exists? If he is kind and if he is all-powerful, then why there should be evil? This is the question number one for the atheists. There is a whole discipline, the whole science in Christianity called theodicy, justification of God. They try to exonerate him, try to find excuse. Well, okay, you know, he has an excuse. Why there is evil? Yeah. And this is even among devotees, even among people who accept God, even among us, we tend to blame Krishna. In fact, even more shockingly, in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes who is the doer, who is to blame. And we have three candidates: the material modes, Jiva, and Krishna, the Lord. So the material modes are, as Vyasadeva says in Vedanta Sutra, are dead. They are matter. They are unconscious. They cannot be the doer. And Krishna says, Nadate kasyachit papam na chaiva sukritam vibhu. As the Lord, I don't force anybody to be pious or sinful. So what remains is Jiva, who is responsible, who is to blame. All three are the doers, but Krishna and modes are neutral, whereas Jiva is a dependent but responsible doer. And then he says, when the sun of knowledge arises, then the person understands everything. And the acharyas explain, what is the sun of knowledge which has to arise for us to understand everything? And Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who is a big Vedantist, and also Srila Prabhupada quotes Vedanta from there, and Sridhar Swami, they say that this knowledge which opens the doors to the spiritual world is the knowledge that Krishna is fair. He's just, nyayapurna. It's being convinced in Krishna's justice, gerechtigkeit. So, as soon as we accept that Krishna is just, we will be free. It means that if I am not free from the material modes, I still blame Krishna. I still whisper in my heart that maybe Krishna has a finger in my suffering. maybe he's a little bit too heavy on me. Okay, that, you know, Bhakta John, I understand, he had a heavy karma. You know, that's karma, it's clear, right? But what me, you know? But why me? Why, it's difficult to understand. Something's strange. Maybe he's a little too tough on me. Maybe he doesn't like my nose or something. Or so we suspect that there is some fault, that there is some unfairness in Krishna. So this is what keeps the door closed, even as a devotees. And these Sharanagati principles, accepting the shelter and accepting Krishna as our benefactor and being grateful to Krishna, is what opens the door to Krishna's sweetness, accepting Krishna's sweetness. Tateno kampam susamikshamano bunjana evadma kritam vipakam hridvagva purbhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo muktipade sadaya bhag. Lord Brahma says in the 10th canto that a devotee who eagerly awaits the mercy and just tolerates whatever happens, continuing to offer respect to Krishna with his body, that's easier. With his words, that's a little bit more difficult. you may find that it's easier to give a philosophical question than to give a philosophical lecture than a lecture describing the glories of Krishna. That's why this retreat is so amazing, because every lecture is about direct Krishna Lila, and it's laden with very pertinent philosophical points and with practical application. So with words and with heart. So if a person just tolerates and continues to glorify Krishna with his words and heart, he's already free. He's already his booking is confirmed in the plane back to Godhead. You know, so reservation is already confirmed. He's already in the list. Dayabhak, he's already enlisted. So this is a good exercise which helps us to develop this mood of being equal in loss and gain, or not being swayed by jubilation, excessive joy, or grief. Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes in several places, Rupa Goswami quotes here from Padma Purana, the verse which says that if our heart is contaminated by grief and lamentation and lust, how can Mukunda enter our heart? So if we have grief or lamentation, it's based on some idea of injustice, and when we point a finger at somebody, three fingers point back at us, and one finger, you know, points at the uparwala, as they say in India, you know, the one at the top. He allowed it. There is one very famous psychologist, Martin Seligman, who's been treating clinically depressed people, which is a scourge, which is a big... It's a world epidemic, depression. You know, so many people are depressed. So he's been trying to cure that for the last 40 years. And as you know, drugs are only about 60% effective. And one unfortunate side effect of many drugs, which is the bestseller in developed countries, Prozac, not only developed, all over the world. Prozac is the American version, and there are some newer versions of that. They're only 60% effective, and one of the unfortunate side effects of these antidepressants is suicidal tendencies. Some people somehow... So he does the non-drug therapy. He gives exercises to people, and he finds three exercises the most effective. He says... He did clinical studies with people treated with drugs, with placebos, and with exercises. So his exercises give a much higher rate than drugs, and they have no side effects, and they give a lasting effect, which continues even 6 months later after people are released. So what are the exercises he uses to treat depression? He says, well, the first one is honest self-analysis. So there must be honesty, and it must be objective, and there must be introspection. The second one is serve others. Do something for somebody else. You can be sad and depressed only if you think about yourself. And when you help somebody else, you will be forced to, at least for a short time, forget about yourself. Right? And the third one is having people writing diaries and every day counting their blessings. Every day they have to write some thank you sentences. Yeah? So this is part of our... actually, you can see this is basically just what we are supposed to do. Yeah? Glorifying the Lord, thanking the Lord. He's having people writing 10 thank you sentences every day. In fact, all of us here are billionaires. Do you know it? I remember when I researched for these topics, I checked on internet and I discovered that a price... If I want to buy one kidney, it costs from 100 to 300,000 euros. And 100,000 euros or 300,000 euros if you want to buy a kidney in Europe. I don't know, in other parts of the world. Unfortunately, if you want to sell, it's only 10,000. But if you need one... If you were to buy, that's 100,000 to 300,000 euros, and that's only one kidney. And I suppose that most of us here have at least two, right? And a liver, you can't even begin to imagine how expensive it is to get a liver transplant. And a heart, and the spleen. You know, and the intestines and the gallbladder, and we have two hands. If we lose one finger, how we lament? How much would you be ready to pay to get back a finger or an eye? It's priceless. You know, so we are all billionaires. But how often do we wake up and say, "Oh Krishna, thank you, I have my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 fingers on my head. Oh, thank you, I have two eyes and both of them see something." Yeah. "Oh Krishna, I have something like two kidneys, a little paining, but two." Still functioning, at least at 10% or something. How often do we thank Krishna for what we have? No, we say, "Oh, I have a little cut on my little finger. Ah, Krishna is not fair to me. You know, why should..." But when we become realistic, we see that we have so many things to be thankful for. So here's an exercise, an action exercise that every devotee is supposed to be doing. Right? Every day, thank Krishna for 10 things. And especially if you don't like something, especially if something happens that you don't like. And I feel very safe to predict that it happens to you every day. Today also. Something will happen that you don't like. You will not have your favorite spot at Prasadam. You will be put a little less of what you like, and the sun will be shining at the wrong angle. And something may not be, or something may be lost, or something may be gained, you know, some unnecessary germ, or 300 billion germs in a body. So as soon as you find yourself a little dissatisfied, immediately take a piece of paper and a pen, or open a file in the computer, or at least in your mind, compose 10 thank you sentences. And You can start easy with the easy ones, like, thank you, Krishna, that this happened, because at least I had a breakfast yesterday. Yes. Thank you, at least I have some clothes on me. You know, this happened, but at least I have a clothes, something to put on. And if you want to move to a more advanced stage, thank Krishna exactly for what happened. Thank you, Krishna, for sending me this disease or this insult, because this particular insult or this particular disease trains me in tolerance. Or this particular thing, unpleasant thing, shows me my deficiencies. Thank you for doing this exact thing, because it shows me the areas I have to work upon. So the more advanced stage of thanking, thank exactly for this thing. And just to end my overtime talk, I can relate this, what happened just 2 years ago in this same very place. I was using a computer, and computer is a big part of my life, as it happens nowadays. And one morning, I turned it on, and the battery wasn't charging. And that means the end of the computer, you know? Battery isn't charging. Something happened. Something was with electricity. You remember, Sarvabhauma Prabhu, I came to you and I asked you, what is this? Could it be this? I used this wrong step down, and there was not enough voltage, or this, or that. And I was very worried. I thought, no, it's only the third day of the retreat. I have to take so many notes. And now, but then I thought, wait, you had, what did you say in that lecture? You have to say thank you. Oh. Okay, so I opened the computer and said, I can read you, you know, if you want this. He said, Krishna, thank you for making my battery not charge. Because it shows me my attachments. Okay, number one. Okay, number two. Krishna, thank you for giving trouble with the computer, because it helps me not to forget how to write with a pen. And so I wrote 10 things. I was sitting there at the lecture. That was when Burjan Prabhu, if you remember, he would give us free writing. So that writing was not so free for me. It was a forced writing. Of course, by the tenth, it was getting a little, you know, already. It changes our mood. Just try this exercise. Please do. It helps us to surrender. It helps us to open the doors and accept that maybe, just maybe, Krishna is not the culprit. And you know what happened? I wrote these 10 thank you sentences, and I came back, I plugged the computer in, and it worked. Krishna decided, okay, so just to show you that this is the proper direction, this time I will I will do a little thing to show you that you should be thankful for things. So this is the action exercise. You may find more doors. The doors, so you cannot enter the temple without passing the staircases, without opening the doors, and the doors are surrendering. And one of these is accepting life, accepting responsibility, and not blaming Krishna. And then we will be able to meditate on Krishna as we chant. And as we chant the Maha Mantra, we will be able to have a beautiful picture of Radha and Krishna, and Krishna, Bhakta Nugraha Karakam, who is kindly smiling at us as we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. My humble obeisances. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha.